Good morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well on a beautiful Lord's Day. The sun is shining, the S-U-N as well as the S-O-N. And we're glad that God has brought you here today to worship with us in spirit and in truth as we gather around His Word. We look forward to the opportunity to hear what it is that the Lord has to say to us today as part of the family of God. Now, as you know, we are heading into that time where we promote our North American missions offering. All this money goes straight to those that are on our North American fields. And, of course, that includes Canada, United States, as well as Mexico. This goes to keep our missionaries out there on the field so they don't have to worry about how they're going to be able to have the bills paid, and they can just keep their focus upon the ministry and being able to share with each and every person that God leads them to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, as well as the opportunities to train them to serve Him. So we are going in just a moment, as you've seen, and I want to encourage you, if you haven't had the opportunity on the page where you're watching this broadcast right now, if you're watching the broadcast, if you're here, you can go to our Facebook pages. We have spotlighted some of our North American missions. We always like to put faces and names with your giving so that you can see what's taking place, so that you can see what is going on. And what we're doing is we're spotlighting some of those videos so you have an opportunity to see our mission and see who they are. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to let you take a peek at one of our missionaries by way of video. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather. Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice upon Calvary's cross has made it possible for us to be able to spend eternal life with you. Father, I pray that you will help us today to live for the kingdom rather than living for this earth. Lord, impress upon our heart what you want us to know today from your word and through every aspect of what we do. Father, today as we come here and as we love you, help us to follow your commandments where you say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. But Lord, also to love one another as ourselves, and Lord, as we should love you. Help us, Lord, to be able to do that and be an example to the whole world. Lord, today we pray that you'll speak to us through your word. Help us, Father, as we hear you and as we look into those that are serving you, particularly through the North American Mission Board. Now, Lord, bless our time today that we'll spend together in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's our video.
New Orleans East has been home for me since 1989. This has been a place that I've grown to love over the course of my life. It's a high population of low-income families, a lot of single moms in the area. You have a lot of kids actually growing up in this community, seeing drug use, seeing prostitution. We wanted to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope, so we started offering Level Up Fitness Camp. We bring in outside coaches from different gyms. They come in and they take the kids for about an hour and just teach them basic general exercises. We use our fitness camp to teach our kids spiritual and biblical concepts. When people give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, it allows churches like our church to continue to give back. We're here to try to catch that kid at an early level and just teach them that Christ can take a broken person and restore them. New Orleans East has been home for me since 1989.
I don't like exercise, but I could level up, I think. I hope that during this past week that you were blessed by choosing to pray for our missionaries that were in our pamphlet and that were listed online on that resource. Continue to pray for them, and especially each week, several weeks now, there will be those videos that are focused on one particular missionary or missionary couple. I encourage you to continue to contact them. I'm not sure if anybody was able to send an email to any of the missionaries, but you know, I know they would be blessed just by that contact and through our prayer. But I also hope that during the week that you spent some time you're thinking about and praying and asking God, what is it that you can do financially to help support our missionaries? There are three ways that you can give. One of them, if you would check the tables in all the main entrances of the church, there are the white Annie Armstrong Easter offering envelopes. You can put your money in there, and it will get channeled to Annie Armstrong. If you don't have one of these, and you have a regular church offering envelope, you can put your money in that, and there is a line on that envelope that says missions, and you can mark it as Annie Armstrong, and it will get funneled that way. The last way is to do e-giving. If you go to our church website and click on the giving tab, and the e-giving pulls up, on the drop-down menu there is one that says missions, and I believe you probably can designate it from there that specifically it's Annie Armstrong. But do consider giving. I went through a list of items last week of what money is needed to do certain things. Our goal is $7,000 for our church. You know, just be considering what is your part in that, because this is our opportunity to reach out and support our missions. Thank you.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, say that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, my presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, say that thou art. Thou my best thought, day or by night, waking or sleeping, my presence, my light. Doom, 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 doom. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision.
O ruler of all,
still be my vision. O ruler of all.
What a reminder that the Lord be our vision, no matter what falls. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, as Israel was on its journey to get to the promised land, we know that they had some issues along the way. We realize that they had to spend that 40 years of wilderness because of their disobedience. The Lord had gotten to the point where he was tired of their disobedience. Now, I don't know at what point God's patience runs out, but I know that there are times when it does. I know that there are times when God says, I am gracious, I am patient, I am long-suffering, but long-suffering doesn't mean permanently. There's a point in a time where I think we can push God to the limit, and Israel knew exactly what button to push when it came to that. And because of their disobedience at Kadesh Barnea, they found themselves having to roam the wilderness for 40 years. In fact, it was a permanent punishment for those that were over a certain age, those that should have known better, those that should have said, we need to trust God to get us where we need us to be. They actually dropped dead in the wilderness and did not have that opportunity to go in and see the promised land. Now, Moses was one of those who had led them, and even though he had been through a lot, his disobedience also cost him not being able to enter the promised land. He got to see it, but he didn't get to go in. So you have to think that at this particular point, you got Israel, they're out in the wilderness. It's time for somebody. God wasn't going to leave them in the wilderness forever. There was going to be that time when they would go into the promised land, and there was the time that they did go into the promised land, but it was going to be done under Joshua's leadership rather than the leadership of Moses. It was time for some new leadership. It was time, once God had accomplished everything he wanted to accomplish in getting the attention of Israel in the wilderness, it was time for them to go. Now, we've probably heard many sermons on that before when it comes down to what took place with them essentially crossing the River Jordan. It was reminiscent of when they crossed the Red Sea, but then as they came in to the promised land, they came against another obstacle. Now, it wasn't an obstacle that wasn't foretold. In fact, it was part of the issue that got them in trouble earlier at Kadesh Barnea, 40-some years earlier at Kadesh Barnea. If you remember, they sent those spies into the land, and 10 of the spies came back and said, we can't do this. There are giants in the land. Remember, God told them, God said, you are going to have to go and possess the land. You're going to have to take the land. It didn't mean that God was going to make everything just fall down in front of them. God issued them a challenge, and I believe God issues us a challenge today as well that is going to be an item designed to grow us in our faith. God didn't say he would make the enemies go away. He said that he would conquer the enemies for us. That didn't mean that we don't have to go to battle, right? See, what happens oftentimes is we can find ourselves in a situation where it looks like insurmountable odds. We can look out and we can see the enemy that looks like they are lined from east to west and as far back as you can see, and it looks like we're outnumbered. But are we forgetting who it is we serve? Are we forgetting the power of the holy God? Are we forgetting that the God that we serve today is the same God who took 300 men under the command of Gideon and just whipped the whole army? Have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten who we are? Have we become like Israel back in the day when they were facing the Philistines, and we see the story of David and Goliath? And you remember David was the one even as a child who reminded Israel, have we forgotten who we are? We are part of the armies of the living God, and our God has been victorious. He continues to be victorious. He has conquered everything, and we serve him. We've read the end of the book, and we win. It's already written. So why is it that we have such trouble with our faith in him today? Now, faith is that substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. If you want to get into a terminology and a definition, I like the simple definition as a simple type of a person. That means believing in something even when you can't see it. Now, we hear about that all the time, but do we trust it? When it comes down to God, do we trust it? There are areas of our lives that we do indeed trust by faith. I've said this. This is just a very simple illustration. Most of us, when we came down here, now depending on what kind of chair you've got in here with us, most of us, you know, sometimes you've set it up and then you sit down real easy in it because you're not sure whether it's going to hold you or not. Might have a little bit of age on it. But for the most part, that's not what we do. Most of the time, we just pull up a chair, we sit down, we don't check to see if the screws are tightened, we don't check to see what's going on with it. So we've had faith that that chair is going to do its job and hold us up. Why do we not have that kind of faith in God, who is the creator of mankind, who is the ruler of the universe, who has a plan for our lives, and we act like in the middle of our circumstances and situations that God is just non-existent, that he is not able to do that which he says that he's going to do. Now, a lot of us would sit back, and when we hear it that way, when we hear it, the preacher say that, we go, well, yeah, maybe that's being a little harsh. Well, is it? Yeah, why is it that in the middle of our circumstances, we have a hard time trusting? And people say, well, I don't have a hard time trusting God. Well, why do you worry then? Confession, where are my worriers? You worry. You know that's a sin, right? The Lord says, oh, what does worry mean? Worry means, I don't know if God can do that. But see, we're also control. Where are my control freaks? Come on. Come on now. You like to be in control. And see, what happens is when you're not, these are things that make it hard for us when we walk with the Lord, because God says, I want you to give me your life. I want you to give me control. And I have a plan and a will and a purpose for your life. And I'm going to fulfill that purpose in your life. Now, sometimes that means he's got to lead us to places where we have to take our hands completely off of the controls, which we should be doing anyway. It means that we're going to get to the points in our lives where it almost seems that from the humanistic viewpoint that this is impossible. I want you to know, folks, those are the times that God shines the brightest, when the circumstance looks the toughest. Now, today we're going to look at a passage out of Joshua chapter 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Now Israel has essentially gone into the promised land. They have crossed the Jordan. You know, they're under the leadership of Joshua, as Joshua is following the commands of God. And they get to this point. They come upon this place, and most of us know it. We've sang songs about it as children. But they come upon this stronghold of a place called Jericho. Now, we pick it up in verse 1, Joshua chapter 6. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. Verse 4, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shout with great shout, then the walls of the city will fall down, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. And so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Verse 9, the armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpet. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Let's pray. Father, as we ponder your word today, we thank you for the fact that, Lord, you never called us to make the battle plans. You never called us to do anything except be faithful and obedient to follow the plan you already have for our lives. Lord, the plan that you already have for our world, the plan that is going to be in place regardless of mankind. So, Lord, I pray that today you will truly help us as we view the obstacles that each and every one of us face. Father, today there are those who are facing obstacles that look so great. They look so mighty. Lord, help us to truly remember that you are the God who can make the mighty mountains fall down at our feet. Lord, you are the one who can handle any obstacle or circumstance or situation in our life if we will only trust you, if we will only follow you, if we will only be obedient in your presence. Lord, I pray that today you will truly bless our time around your word, and I ask that you would use me as your messenger. Lord, help us to lift you up today, that you truly might draw all men unto you. Change our hearts and our lives. Help us, Father, to be different today because we've been in your presence, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, folks, Joshua, as the new commander, got a pretty big test. Now, as I read through that, you know, I many times wonder what it must have been like to have been in Joshua's shoes when he heard that from the Lord. You know, Moses was a pretty tough act to follow, wasn't he? I mean, he was the guy that people looked to, even though they had problems with him. Often in leadership, that's what takes place. When you've had a great leader before, then the guy that comes behind him has a pretty tough set of shoes to have to fill coming in behind that guy. Some of you know that. Some of you have been the person that's had to follow a person like that. You know, everybody's skeptical. They sit back and look. Now, Joshua is leading the people. He's already got them across the river. I'm sure that there was a little bit of a confidence builder along the way, but now comes an opportunity for a test of faith. Now, I want to mention this morning that I believe with all of my heart that God still provides opportunities in your life and in my life that are going to test our faith. Things that are going to make us put our money where our mouth is. Opportunities that He is going to make sure that you and I do not have the opportunity to control or to manipulate, that all we can do is trust Him when it comes to these circumstances and situations. That puts us in a tight plate, especially for those of us who like to be in control of a situation. We lose our cotton-picking mind when we don't have control, don't we? It's hard for us. So now all of a sudden Joshua has this challenge of faith and Jericho is standing in the way. Now remember when we said back even years before that, the Lord said, I'm going to give you the land. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to run from you. You know, the Lord has told us that we're to go out and we are to preach His gospel. Does that mean that everybody is going to accept us with grateful and willing arms? Does that mean that people are going to accept what we do as God's children and just say, oh, you're wonderful? No. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We are going to come up against resistance. And God told Israel, no, I'm not going to make the armies run from you. I'm not going to make them lay down. You are going to have to step up and you are going to have to fight the battle. Did you hear me today? I want you to hear me really well, because I believe that there are battles that God wants each and every one of us to fight. Now, He's saying He's going to give us victory, but He's saying you've got to go to war. Have we? Have we cowered down? Have we shunned away from that? Israel is looking for a home. God is providing them a home. And He's saying, you're going to have to take it. Jericho lies in the way. Jericho was no pushover. What you got is you got a bunch of wilderness cronies of Israel that are now looking to come in. And here's this big, organized Jericho, fortified city. It is strong. It has walls. Yeah, and the defenders of Jericho are mighty men of valor known throughout the region. And then here comes Israel. Good old wilderness dwellers. New leadership coming on board. Humanly speaking, now notice that's an important word. Humanly speaking, their options were pretty clear. Humanly speaking. God says, you know, you're going to go up against Jericho, so what would the plan be to go up against Jericho? Now, I'm sure that there were probably those military strategist among them. Well, we've got a couple of choices. Choice number one, what we can do is we can scale the walls. We can try to make a sneak attack at night. We can do whatever. There's probably all sorts of military-type planning that went on that maybe included scaling the walls, getting inside, you know, and going that way. Maybe it was, let's all get together, and what we'll do is we'll just make a mad rush. We'll beat the gate down. We'll go in that way, and we'll just right up in their face, come straight at them. Or maybe what we can do is we can work on tunneling underneath, and then what we could, once we get there and get all these tunnels, we'll just besiege on them all at one time. So you can see how humanly thinking, we would start to try to come up with plans to overtake the city. Now, I want you to understand, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm sure that they probably were sitting around the table saying, well, here's the best way. From what I've seen, I think the best attack might be attack A. You know, what we do is we get all these ropes, we slip over at night, and we just jump them while they're sleeping. Maybe we'll have a better chance that way. Yeah, and all of the planning that was taking place and going on. Now, I want us to understand something. God is not against planning by any stretch of the imagination. But God is against planning when He already has a plan. So God shows up with a plan. Now, yeah, we have to understand that faith is offering an alternative to Joshua and the people of Israel. You know, they're sitting there trying to plan, and God's like, I've got a plan, but this plan is going to require that you have faith, that substance of things hoped for, that evidence of things not seen. That plan's going to require something of you, and what it's going to require of you is that you trust me explicitly. You know, it's like that situation in our lives when somebody says, do you trust me? Have you ever had that? Have you ever done that with somebody? Somebody says, look, I got a plan. Do you trust me? You know something's coming when they say that, don't you? I have an idea. Do you trust me? They're usually saying that because they are getting ready to say something so bizarre, so completely off, you know, off target that you're going to be like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What faith in this situation is going to offer an alternative. And Joshua gets a faith builder. He, in the previous chapter, at the end of the previous chapter of chapter 5, heading into the chapter we're looking at now, one of the things that takes place is that that Joshua has an encounter with an angel. And Joshua essentially has been promised the captain of the Lord of hosts says this. He says, I'm going to give this to you. Now, I want you to also look at the first part of verse 6, what he says in verse 2. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its kings and the mighty men of valor. That right there is the statement that they should have hung their hat on. Those are the statements that God gives us that we need to take confidence and assurance in our lives. When we have this obstacle and we begin to pray and God says, I've got this, we need to trust him. Do we? God said this to Joshua. He said, I got you. I am going to give into your hands Jericho. You don't have to worry about Jericho. Jericho's nothing. I got this. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. And I'm going to ask you this. I'm asking our viewing audience at home. I'm asking everybody, how many of you believe today that God is able to do anything that he says that he can do or anything that he says he's going to do? How many of us believe that God truly has? So put your hand up, but don't be proud. Raise your hand. Yeah, say amen if you're part of our online community. If you believe that God is able. If you don't, right there's one of your major problems. You don't trust God. You don't believe in his power. You don't believe in his authority. Maybe you're not one of his children. But if you have read this word of God, and you have seen who God is, and you have seen what God's done, he created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. He hung the stars in the sky. He created the atmosphere. He created man from dust of the earth and woman from the rib of a man. This is God we're talking about. Do you think the God that created man from dust of the ground is able to handle your circumstance or your situation? I do. Now, but the interesting thing about God is God's going to do a lot of things in your life. He did them in the Bible, and he's going to do them in your life and my life in such a fashion that there's no way man could think about how to do that. You see, when that happens, only God gets credit and only God gets glory for it. You see, God had a battle plan for Jericho. He's like, I got this. Don't worry about it. Now, here's what you guys are going to do. What I'm going to have you do is get together. You have the ark out there. You've got the armed soldiers. You're going to walk around the city. You'll march around the city one time each day for 6 days. I don't want you to say a word. The horns, everything will go out. I don't want you to say anything. I want you to be as quiet as a mouse. God says, we're going to play the quiet game as we circle Jericho. Does that seem completely counterintuitive to a battle plan? Well, see, if you look and look at some of the battles of history, one of the biggest things was the more noise they made, the more people thought there were that there were more people. Remember that? Remember times when the Lord, you know, would tell them, say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep those torches in the pots, and when I tell you, you smash the pots, and everybody holler, people say, and the enemy was fighting themselves and running from one another. All they had to do was stand there. Now, listen, only God can make that kind of battle plan. If you make it, you'll fail horribly. But if God hands you a plan, says this is what we're going to do. Remember Jericho, here's what you, I could picture what it must have been like for Joshua to say, okay, all right, everybody gather around. I got the plan. Everybody's looking to him toward leadership. You're our new leader. What's the plan? Okay, guys, we're going to play the quiet game as we march around Jericho. Don't anybody say anything. Yeah, just do you march around, and then it's going to get really good on the seventh day. See, after the first day, you march around one time. We're going to go back to camp. Remember who was watching? The citizens of Jericho were observing this take place. I'm sure that the first day, they got on point. They were ready to defend. They're like, this is it. This could be it. And they watched. Maybe peeking through portholes in the wall or over the top, and they watched Israel march around there and leave. Now, could you picture it? All right, I got a bead on them, Captain. They're coming around. They're encircling the encampment. All right, what's going on now? Everybody's leaving. They're going back. Does that make... Are you? What's the report from the other side of the wall? Are they really heading away from us? Yep. Day two. Oh, there's a report coming in. They're encircling the encampment, Captain. I've got them in my sights. They're coming around. The ark's out there. It's armed out in front. Things are looking, oh, it looks like they're doing exactly what they did yesterday. They're encircling the encampment. Everybody get ready, be on point, get your spears, get everything ready. Looks like it might happen today, and they're going home. Is that not weird? I mean, think about it for a minute. Maybe by day three, they weren't sitting there like this on guard. Maybe by day three, they were going, looks like you're going to do the same thing he did the last 2 days. Yep, that's what happened. Probably by day four and five, they were like, all right, let's just go back out here and stand point on the wall. But then something happened different day seven. God said, you are going to encircle the encampment seven times. And when the trumpets are blown, and I tell you to shout. No, we're not playing the quiet game anymore. We're showing up. You shout. And when they shouted, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They didn't use a battering ram. They didn't use catapults. All they did was be, here you go, obedient to God by faith. In verses 3 through 14, the plan was laid out. This is what you need to do. Here's how you will do it. All of God's blessings, my friends, come by having faith in him. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where is your faith in the Father? Our salvation comes by faith. It is faith that brings answers to prayer. Nothing of eternal significance is ever accomplished outside of prayer. Nothing of eternal significance is ever accomplished outside of trusting God for it. And God is going to do things in your circumstance, in your situation, in our circumstance, and in our situation. He's going to do it in such a manner and a fashion that only he can get credit, honor, and glory for it. Because if you are a military mind, my brother over here is... I think you've been to the war college. Would you not think that was the dumbest plan? I mean, from the humanistic standpoint. He would, if I was making this plan, here is a fella who has been with the greatest minds in our country to defend our country and take care of us. And I said, look, I got a little plan here, brother. I want your expertise for just a moment. I've got this really great plan of how we can conquer this area. If I carried this plan to him, he would probably say, you and I need to talk. You really kind of, you know what? Because it seems absurd. He would probably say, there's no way this could ever, ever succeed from the human standpoint. You see, here's the thing. It's not about the human standpoint. It's about God's plan. It's about God's purpose. It's about God's glory. Because you know what? When the walls of Jericho came down, the plan didn't seem so foolish anymore, did it? There were probably those who were sitting there going, well, I'll be. How did that work? It worked because it was God's plan and not man's plan. You see, faith requires obedience. Obedience is following the Lord. Oftentimes, God has given you exactly what his plan for your obstacle is, and you said, I ain't doing that. I always go back to Gideon's army. Man, think about how brave those 300 men were. Gideon shows up as the commander. How many of y'all are scared? Raise your hand. All you that are scared, raise your hand. Oh, fellas, don't worry about it. Y'all go on home. It'll be all right. Just take this battle off. Go ahead. I'm sure Gideon was sitting there going, oh, this is not good. God said, and God said, there's still too many of you. That's weird, man. We need to have more people. That's the way you win. Strength and numbers. God said, too many. Take them down to the river. Let's look at how they drink. And then here's a group you're going to send home. And when it was done, he had 300 men. Insurmountable odds. And yet, they won. God even told Gideon why. He said, yeah, you got too many. He said, people would just say, you're a good general. You had a good battle plan. But see, when you win this war, people will say, thanks be to God, because only God could have made this happen. How would you like to have been one of those 300 men? Now, some of you are out there going, I want that. God, give me that position. Good, let me be one of the 300. And some of y'all would be sitting there going, Lord, let them be one of the 300. Let me go home. This is scary. A lot of us like normality, don't we? How many of you like normal? You don't like schedule changes. You like consistency. This year has been shaking you to the bone, hadn't it? We like repetition. Some of us do. Some of us like the color outside the lines. Some of us grew up, and when the teacher handed you that little paper, you took your crayons, and you made sure you didn't go outside of the lines, and then there was the rest of us. One time, I remember in elementary school, I colored a picture. I colored everything outside of the picture and not what was in the picture. That's called coloring out. I didn't even know what that meant back then. I just thought, well, that's cool. I'm going to change things up a little bit. Everybody colors inside. Let me color outside. God is looking for you to color outside the lines of what we know as normal. Because God is not normal. Let me tell you what God is. God is powerful. God has a plan. And God wants us to be obedient to his plan. And faith requires obedience. Think about the obedience of the healing of Naaman the leper in 2 Kings chapter 5. He had to be obedient to do something, or that healing wasn't going to happen. Think about the servants carrying the pots of wine at the wedding feast of Cana in John chapter 2. They had to be faithful and obedient. Think about Paul's prayer, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts 9:6. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm ready. I'm part. Sometimes what we say is we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he tells us, and we go, pick something else. Ooh. I was thinking more along the line of that rather than what you mentioned. Wouldn't somebody else be better suited for that than me? Let me tell you something. If God pointed you out to do it, you are the only person who can do it at that point. Plain and simple. How strange this must have appeared to those in Jericho. What are these crazy people doing? Don't people of the world look at us like that? I can't believe them Christians are spending their Sunday in church. Look, it's a beautiful day. The golf course is calling. It's dried up enough. There are 10,000 things we could do. Listen, how important is the Lord to you to be able to even come together and meet and learn and grow in His Word? You know what church is really about? It's about us being able to do life together under the common cause of Jesus Christ. It's about us learning about Him, but it's about us doing it together as family. How fun is that? You see, the world does not understand obeying in faith. They just don't get it. In verses 15 through 20 of this passage, we see the overcoming power of faith. 7 days was the seventh day was the day of victory. On day seven, they marched around that city 7 times. The priests blew their trumpets. The people shouted, and the walls fell flat down. I am sure that Israel's army, in a lot of ways, was just as surprised as Jericho's army and their citizens. Weren't you? Been standing on this wall forever. Didn't realize that blowing a horn and people screaming, it must have been some really interesting harmonics, but it brought all the walls down. It took what was separating Israel from us, and he went in. Now, this is a different message for a different day, but you also notice that there was instruction given past when they would take Jericho over. The Lord didn't just stop with, here's what I'm going to do. He says, when you go in there, see, remember, it was not unusual for a conquering city or conquering army to plunder the city or the army where they were where they had just captured. Well, this Jericho was had gold and silver. The Word tells us that. But the Lord said, all that's going to be mine. You're not going to get to partake in all that. Do not partake of anything, or you will be cursed. And the camp will be cursed. We know a little bit later on, somebody didn't pay attention, did they? They were sitting there going, ooh, this is a nice robe. Well, this be a little bit of a security. Yeah, this is my nest egg. I'll just put this in. Nobody will know. Did somebody know? God knew, didn't he? Was the whole encampment punished because of that? Yes, they were. Remember, they lost the battle at Ai because of that. And they were staggered. What happened? We just whipped Jericho, and little old Ai just whipped us. Something is wrong. Disobedience is what happened. Let me ask you this morning, what is your greatest obstacle right now? What is the mountain in front of you? What is the thing that is holding you back? Let me make you a promise that according to God's Word, you can expect to overcome that through the power of Christ, providing that the obstacle is not something that God has put in front of you designed to turn you to the left or to the right, because oftentimes He'll do that. But let me make you the promise. The thing that is scaring you, God can handle just like that. He's called you to go into battle. He has won the greatest victory that there ever was. That was the victory at the cross, the victory over sin, the victory over death. And I serve a risen Savior. My general is undefeated. And He's already told us, we're in a war right now. Do you understand that we are in a war right now? If you understand that, let me hear you say amen. There is a war that is going on. And if you don't see that, you're asleep at the wheel. There is the war between good and evil. There is a war that is taking place today, and God has called us, even as little kids and even as a good old Baptist growing up, we sang, "Onward, Christian soldiers," right? You are a soldier. Get your vest. Get your weapon. Get yourself ready and get into fight. I still remember that some times of my former police career. But when things got sideways, let me tell you what you wanted more than anything. You wanted your brothers in the fight. When a call for help went out, you showed up to get in the fight. You showed up as fast as you could to get in the fight. It didn't matter what the fight was. It didn't matter how many there were. It might have been one other officer, and you're the first on the scene, and there's 400 around there. You get in the fight. Let me tell you what God's telling us today, Christian. You need to get in the fight, and it needs to be done by faith, and it needs to be done by obedience. Let me tell you the people I lost respect for that didn't make it long. The ones that ran from the fight. When I was out there taking shots and getting my brains beat out, and I'm calling on my brother to help me, and he went the other direction. Mm-mm. If we're going down, we're going down together. We might be outnumbered, but we got God. And me and God make a majority. It is time to get in the fight. It is time to stop letting simple little obstacles stop us. And let me make you this promise. That is not going to be accomplished outside of prayer. I'm going to introduce this in just a moment. The month of April on Thursdays. We're having a block of time from 6 in the morning till 9 in the morning, and from 6 in the evening till 9 in the evening, where we're going to open up the church over here, and we are encouraging God's people to come by and spend some time in prayer. We're going to have some things that we are going to specifically pray for, and I'm going to ask you to do something that may blow a lot of you completely away. We're going to ask you that sometime during that month that you fast. We're going to let you know a little bit more about what that means next week. Probably preach a little bit about that next week. See, the Lord didn't tell us not to do that, but what did he say in the New Testament? He told us to pray and fast. He didn't say, this would be a good thing for you to do. I suggest you do it. He told us to do that. And you know what? There's a lot of folks who have never done that before. Now, our mind, first of all, runs off to, oh, Lord, you were talking about food. Well, it can be, but it can be other things too. You ever thought about doing a fast from social media? I promise that'll change your life. A day, a week, whatever. I'm asking you right now to begin to pray about what it is that God is wanting you to fast as we come into the month of April. That first week of April on our Thursday is Maundy Thursday. We're actually going to have a communion service. In our evening, in our 6 to 9, we're going to do communion there because that was the night that the Lord, had the communion service in the upper room with his disciples. We're going to let you know more about that. We're going to ask you to make a commitment. Our brother Deacon Tracy has made up some commitment. We're not going to collect them. You know why? Because you're not making a commitment to me. You are making a commitment to God. It's a little commitment. It's for you to stick in your Bible, on your mirror, in your car, wherever it is, to remind you to pray. Because here's what I believe. I believe with all my heart that the season is about to change. Some of y'all are going, yeah, it's getting close to spring. Not just that season's getting ready to change, but the season that we're in right now is getting ready to change. And we're going to have to decide whether or not we're going to walk through the door God's going to open. And we're going to prepare ourselves to do that through the month of April as we come together as God's people and pray. It's time to stop being afraid to do the things God's called us to do. Listen, if Satan can back you down by saying, well, you don't want to go do that, man. So, Lord of mercy, don't pray. And we go, okay, devil, I'm not going to do that. Come on. It's time to step up. social distance, do whatever you want to do, but get on your knees before God the Father. Because let me make you this promise. If we don't, we die. We're getting ready to go to battle. There's a skirmish coming. Are you in? You going to get in the fight? You going to get in the spiritual fight? Are we going to step up and be counted? Somebody might shoot at me. No, they're going to shoot at you. Somebody might try to do something. Yeah, they're going to. I'm telling you right up front. That's what happens in war. I believe with all my heart that it is time for God's people to be offensive and not just defensive. Now, when we talk about the battle, the Lord has given us with the armor and everything else is, hadn't he? He only gave us one offensive piece of equipment, didn't he? The rest of it's defense. Guess what the offense is? What do we call this? All you old Baptists, we used to have what kind of drills? Sword drills. What's a sword? It's an offensive weapon. God said right here is our offense, and it's time to stand up and be counted for his honor, for his glory. And what it's going to take, it is going to take us to have faith, and it's going to take us having obedience. He has won that great victory. We need to trust him to bring victory, not only in our lives, but in our church and in our future. Are you going to join me? Are you going to step up? When the trumpet sounds, are you going to be one that'll say, I am here, I am responding to the call, and I'm going to get in the fight? See, I thought about those that didn't get in the fight. Now, you talk about it, lost a lot of respect. As a matter of fact, most of them lost their job. Big situation. I still remember big old Greg Marshall picked me up one time after the fight, and he goes, man, he said, preacher boy, we didn't know whether we could count on you, but you was in there digging for all it was worth. And I was like, thanks. Listen, man, it can be scary. Sometimes a little bit of fear is good. It'll keep you focused. It is time to go to the wall for the Savior. We are going to, what is it? Heaven or bust. Let's do this. It's going to take us, not me. It's going to take us. I'm ready. How about you? I'm going to ask Lynn if she'd come on up. We're getting ready to have our time of invitation. As she does, I'm asking you to pray about a lot of things right now. I'm asking you where your faith is, where your faith walk is with our Father at this point. I am asking you when it comes down to the circumstances and situations of battle, are you ready? A lot of us would sit back and say, you know what, I'm not. That's okay. You can get ready. Starting right now. The battle plans are getting ready to be drawn. Not my plans, his. That's what we're doing. Next month on Thursdays, we're seeking God's battle plan. I want to see God do some cool things a couple more times before I leave this earth. How about you? I've seen it, and I want to see it again. Take faith. It's going to take obedience. First of all, I'm asking you, have you trusted our Lord and Savior? I love the fact that he calls his children by name. Does he call you by name? Does he know who you are? Or have you just gone through thinking that that being a spiritual person is about going to church and doing good deeds? Folks, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's who you know. It's your relationship. Do you know Jesus? Listen, if not, and you feel him speaking to your heart right now, that Holy Spirit, just simply bow your head, close your eyes, and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. Save my soul in Jesus' name. Let me make you the promise that if you honestly did that and meant that, then he did, and he is confirming with you right now that you're one of his children. You say, well, that's just too easy. No, he made it easy. The Lord said, yeah, Even a child can understand that. Now, if you did that, listen, please contact us. If you're watching online, let Dr. Gant know. Let us know. Contact us at church. We want to help you in the follow-up with your spiritual walk. We want to help you to walk with the Lord and grow in His grace. Maybe you're here today and you say, I have been sitting on the sideline. I have been listening to too many outside sources. I have been intimidated. I have been backed down. It is time to poke the finger in the chest of the devil and start backing him up. And let me make you a promise. There's not going to be many people who are going to help you do that. We, as God's people, need to do that. It's time to stand up. It's time to be counted. It's time to stop this nonsense that's going on in our society today. People say, well, what can be done to fix it? We can't, but God can. And the remedy is if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and seek God, then He will be faithful to hear our prayer. Then He will heal our land. Not until then. You can't keep trying to throw God out of everything. God is the solution, not the problem, as society has made it. Until you do that, we're going to continue down that path. Not me. I'm going to walk the narrow path. I'm going to walk the one that's got the briars and the thicket and everything else. And you know what? A lot of y'all walking with me. A lot of you walk with me. Let's do it again. But we're going to fight in faith and obedience. If that's you, if the Lord has touched your heart and said, man, it's time for you to get back in the fight. It's time for you to get back in the walk with me. It's time for you to come back home. Then today I just simply ask you, Christian, to bow your head and say, Lord, I realize where I am and I realize where I need to be. Today I'm coming home. Help me with the journey. Strengthen my faith. Use me. Lord, I realize there are going to be tough days ahead. I realize there'll be obstacles. But Lord, through your grace, through your honor, through your glory, and through my faith in you, you will make the mountains fall just like the walls of Jericho. Listen, if you ask the Lord to do that, start that journey back to Him. I'm going to ask that you spend some time with Him. This is the time of altar call. I still like an old altar call. You can't beat them. And I know that right now we're not making the public response here, but would you respond to the Father as Lynn leads us in our time of invitation?
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus.
Amen. God is good. Hey, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Him. But you know what? He says, I've called you to be one of my soldiers. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Let's get in the fight. Folks, I just want to remind you that we will be having our in-gathering next week for the next two Sundays for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And for those of you who may not know what that is, that's that time where we take to pray over what it is that God will do. We've asked you to bring your offering. If you're going to be giving it here and through an envelope, you can put it in there, and then we will take that time to give you. And we ask you to come down here and just place it on the altar. We may have a box up here for you to put it in there, but then to pray that God will take your gift, the sacrifice that you have made, and use it for the honor and the glory of His will and for those missionaries and those that will be reached. Who knows? Maybe somebody will see you in heaven and say, I'm here today because God led you to support the missionary that led me to Jesus. And I want to thank you for being faithful and obedient to what God has asked you to do. Will you pray about that? Next two Sundays will be our in-gathering for this week. Don't forget, our offering box for here is at the door as you go out. If you're over in our sanctuary, you can put in the offering plates down in the front. Or you can mail your tithe in. There's e-giving online. You can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. You can give there. As always, we ask you to support your local church. If you don't have a local church, if you're viewing us and don't have a local church, then we ask that you support us. If you have a local church, support it. That's your storehouse. If not, consider supporting us with the tithe and the offering that God's work may continue to go out and continue to go forth. Keep me in your prayers. I am leaving pretty much immediately to pick up our associational mission strategist. I have a meeting in Atlanta. There's four of us from Piedmont Association that are going. So that will be through Wednesday, but do keep us in your prayers as we travel. I'll be driving because I'm a control freak, obviously, and I like to drive, so I'll be picking him up, and he is obliged to ride. So pray that I won't have road rage when I get to Atlanta. Won't look like Otis. Out of the way, Sunday drivers. But pray for a good conference and some things to go there, and begin to pray about what it is that God wants us to do as we come into April. We're going to be giving you a prayer guide. We're going to be giving you some things by next week. I think we've got a commitment card. Again, the commitment card's for you. It's not for us. But will you join us? And we're going to ask you that at least on Thursdays, come in at some point. There's something special about coming to the Lord's house. I mean, don't get me wrong. Prayer can be heard from anywhere. But there's something special about spending that time around the altar or in that quietness of what's taking place. Don't forget, we will be doing Monday, Thursday communion on the first our first meeting on that Thursday evening only. We still have our prayer groups. We just really want to encourage you to come. Our deacons are leading out in this. We're grateful to Stan as he's helped to put that together. There will be one of our deacons there at hour and a half increments through our times. But we'll give you a little bit more. For right now, I'm just simply asking you, pray about what it is that God wants you to do in regard to our prayer. Will you be a part of it? That's the first step. It takes prayer. Don't forget, tonight we do have Awana. That is 5:30 for our teenagers or young people, and then the rest of the group, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We're so grateful to see the kids. It just blesses your heart. Since I got to get on the road, I'm going to ask Tony if he would. How about coming on up here? I'll get Tony to dismiss us in a word of prayer. I'll also get him to give thanks for the offering that is about to be collected. Guys, know that I love you. I appreciate you. I'm excited about what God's got in store for Central Baptist Church as we go forward. Tony, if you got anything you want to say about Awana, go ahead and then send us off in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for a church that has been faithful for this last year with their tithes, with their offerings, with the support for your ministry right here in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're just so thankful. Also thankful for a church that has always stood behind our missions. We've not been able to go this year, but we can certainly get behind those missionaries on the field. We thank you for that opportunity. God, as we head out this week, we just ask that we hold those words that we've heard today, that we're in a fight. The enemy is among us, but we have the weapon. We have Jesus. Thank you so much for our Savior. Just bless this day, for in Jesus' name.